Well, if you were here last Sunday, you will remember the name David Flood. I hope you remember the name David Flood. He was that missionary who went with his wife to Africa, and when his wife died not long after she had had a little girl, he turned away from God. He gave his little girl to someone else to look after. He said, I can't look after her. He left Africa. He became bitter and angry at God. David Flood had become disconnected from Jesus. Did anyone read the story for themselves? Oh, a couple of people looked it up. I challenged you to. Oh, that was part of your homework. Did anyone read through Colossians? Oh, the same two people. They did their homework at school all the time. Oh, reset the homework. Your homework this week is to read through the book of Colossians. In that you failed last week, I'll say only two versions this week. Anyway, have a look at it. Well, for those who didn't read the end of the story, it's really interesting because it tells us, it goes on to tell us of how years later, this little baby girl went and found her father. This man who was bitter and angry at God, who had never seen her, this little girl, after the day he gave her away. And as a grown woman, she was able to sit with her father and talk about Jesus with him. He let her pray with him. And as you read the story, you'll read how David Flood, just before he died, came back to Jesus. The Apostle Paul wrote to the early believers, those first century believers in Colossae, because he had heard that they were in danger of becoming disconnected from Jesus. As we noted last week, his whole motive in writing this letter was that they would continue, these people would continue to live in him, in Christ Jesus. That they would continue to be rooted and built up in Jesus. Yes, that's the word we need to hear. All of us need to hear all the time. Continue in Jesus. Don't allow yourself to become disconnected from him. When Paul prays for these believers in chapter 1, that is what is sitting behind his prayer. In many ways, his prayer can be seen as a preventative measure, if you will. It is as if he is seeing what is happening in their lives and realizes exactly what needs to change in them if they are to continue in Jesus and not become disconnected. In fact, this is how we can pray for ourselves and others when we start to see disconnection creeping into them. Listen to how he prays. Colossians chapter 1, verse 9. For this reason, and the reason is that they are in Christ, they've believed in Jesus. For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience, and giving joyful thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of his holy people in the kingdom of light. First thing I want you to notice here is that disconnection is not normal. Did you pick up Paul's tone when we read, "We have not stopped praying for you. We continually ask God." This is a reflection of Paul's attitude. You see, from Paul's perspective, he doesn't accept that it is a normal part of following Jesus to drift away and become disconnected. I suspect many of us say, "Oh, that's normal." But can I suggest, hang on a second, it doesn't have to be normal. From Paul's perspective, I suspect it is not normal. And so Paul, in this attitude, keeps on asking. He keeps on bringing these people to God. "No, that's not how it needs to be. So I'm taking you to God, and I'm not about to stop. I'm not about to stop." And also the fact that he keeps on praying like he does shows us that he believes God can do something. So often we do not believe that God can do something. That is so often a posture in our understanding. But here it is, the Apostle Paul goes to God. Why does he go to God? Because he actually believes God is interested. God can do something. God wants to do something. And indeed, that's the point. God is able to keep us, keep those who have believed in him, keep those who have committed their lives to him. God is able to keep us, and in those moments of disconnection, bring us back to himself. Yes, Paul's confidence is in God. And this is an important place to begin thinking about how to prevent disconnection. God wants us. Every person in this room, I don't care who you are, I don't care where you've been, I don't care how you're thinking here right now, I want you to hear something. God wants you. Yes, God wants us. God doesn't accept that it is normal that we drift away from him. Remember, it was God who came into the Garden of Eden. The all-knowing God. The one who knew exactly what Adam and Eve was doing. He was not caught by surprise when he walked into the garden. He knew what had happened. He knew where they were. He knew they were hiding. But it was God who came into the garden saying, "Adam, where are you?" He searched him out. It was God who rescued us. It is God who wants us to know him and enjoy fellowship with him. Notice also in the way Paul prays that disconnection happens when pleasing God stops being important. This is really interesting. And indeed, this principle is true of all relationships. I mean, we see it all the time in marriages. I'd suggest it's the first step on the road to a marriage breakdown. You stop wanting to please the other person. You can't be bothered thinking about them and what they would like. And it also can be true of our relationship with God. Notice how Paul prayed? "We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way." I don't know if you are one of those people who set goals. Some people do and others don't. But, you know, one of those people who say, "By the time I'm 30, I think there was something floating around on Facebook I saw, "By the time I'm 35, I'm going to retire." That's an ambitious goal one sets for one's life. Someone asked me how I was holidays, and I said, "I think I've worked out my next career. I've set a new goal. My next career is going to be going on holidays." I think that will be a great career. But, you know, I don't know. I don't know if you're one of these person that has, you know, have your 20, your 5, your 10, your 20, your 30-year goal and your life plan all worked out. Well, some of us are like that. Well, what about this as a life goal? I will live worthy of the Lord and please Him in every way. This is the sort of life goal that affects everything you do. This is something that we need to allow to seep into our lives and shape our thinking, our attitudes, our choices. Maybe this is something we could write down somewhere and, you know, stick it up on the bathroom window, put it on our computer screen, put it on the dashboard of our car. I will live worthy of the Lord and please Him in every way. This is my life goal. And notice also here that we can know how to live to please God. Yes, what God wants for your life is knowable. You can know it. It's not a mystery. Paul prays, we continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of His will. How? Through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives. Some other translations put it, through all spiritual wisdom and understanding. So that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please Him in every way. Do you see the progression here? It's very logical. No, we don't have to become disconnected from Jesus. What will prevent it from happening is choosing to live in such a way that pleases Jesus. And how can we know what pleases Jesus? It is through the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives. Wisdom and understanding are words that the first century people Paul is writing to fully understood. They are words that speak of how we know what we know. Epistemology, if you will. And yes, God gave us minds. We had the ability to process information, to reach conclusions and make choices. As Jesus put it, we are called to love the Lord our God with our minds. As human beings, people created in the image of God, men and women, God made us with minds. And indeed, God expects us to use our minds. But knowing is also a spirit function. In 1 Corinthians, Paul speaks of the things God has revealed to us by His Spirit. And so when you piece this together, you get the sense that there is a certain cooperation when it comes to living as a Christian. It involves both, on the one hand, human effort, and on the other, Holy Spirit enabling. And so, we're talking about it is possible to know what God wants us to do, how God wants us to live, so that we can live worthy of the Lord and please Him in every way. Yes, it's possible for us to know. And so knowing, on the one hand, is an activity of the mind, and on the other, an activity of the Holy Spirit in us. That's why the Bible is so important. You see, the Bible is God's word. It is God's Spirit revealed word. It is how God makes Himself known to us. It is where God shows us how we can live to please Him. In effect, the outworking on our part of what Paul prays here is to constantly engage with the Bible, God's word. Yes, it is here that we discover how to please God in every way. as we read the scriptures, God's Spirit-revealed word. God, the Holy Spirit, opens our eyes to do, to see, to do. You don't have to wonder what God wants you to do. It's what you read this morning. But Paul goes one step further here in Colossians. He spells out for these people a simple summary, if you will, of what pleasing God looks like from his perspective in their lives. It's interesting to consider this. How do we please God? This is a good place to begin. How do we please God? Well, firstly, bearing fruit in every good work. Earlier in this chapter, Paul has been talking about how the gospel has been bearing fruit wherever it goes. The notion of good work in the gospels and throughout the letters are this working, serving for God, proclaiming the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus. That's the work of the gospel. That's the work of God. And here it was, these people are seeking to live lives that bring glory to Jesus by making Jesus known. This was one of the themes that came up yesterday in the evangelism planning workshop. We can have a ton of strategies in place to enable people to hear about Jesus, to connect with Jesus. But ultimately, the ultimate strategy is you and me. Living lives that overflow with the life of Jesus. That is, it's you and me. And this is an attitude. It's I exist to make Jesus known. I'm not saying, and that's not a guilt trip. Don't hear a guilt trip right now. So often when people say this sort of stuff, you know, the non-evangelist in the room, of which the majority of us are not, the non-evangelist sit here and go, oh, here's the evangelist telling me I've got to be an evangelist. I've got to be like them. I'm not an evangelist, I'll tell you now. Roger Lang is. I'm not Roger Lang. I spent a lot of years trying to be him. I failed miserably and now I'm liberated. I'm allowed to be Kevin Bird. You see, that's not what I'm saying. It's saying I've got an attitude that I exist to make Jesus known. And I'm going to live that way. I'm here at work and I'm here because I believe in Jesus. And yep, I've got this great job and I love my job and I'm going to do it really well. But first and foremost, I'm here serving Jesus. I want to please him and I'm going to live that way. That's how I'm going to live here in this place. And I'm looking for how I can bear fruit. And as an opportunity comes, I'll speak a God word into a situation. Ask God to give you some opportunities this week to bear fruit in every good work. As the opportunity comes, I will love a person. I will care for a person. How do we please God? Grow in the knowledge of God, secondly. First and foremost, I think the issue of disconnection is a distorted understanding of who God is. You see, you grow and become disconnected from someone when you stop caring about that person, but actually you stop understanding who the person is. Our greatest need is to know who God is. There's so much wrong thinking out there concerning God. You've heard it. We encounter it all the time. You'll be having a conversation with someone and you think, man, this guy's crazy. I'm being asked to defend a view of God that I totally disagree with. You know, you Christians, blah, 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 blah. And I've so often said, well, look, hang on, I haven't got a clue who you're talking about. Because the God you talk about is not someone I personally know. I'd love to talk to you about Jesus, but I don't know who you're talking about. And we as followers of Jesus can have so many wrong so much wrong understanding of who God is. We need to know who God is. You know, one of the fun things about marriage is the realization that you actually don't know the person you're married to. And that a marriage is a lifetime journey of getting to know a person. Getting to know a person. And Paul gives us that impression. You know, we need to grow in the knowledge of God. It's not, you know, I'm growing, I'm better, I'm more mature, I'm this. No, no, that's not what this is about. Oh, I know this about God, but I need to know some more. That's all. That's all he's saying. Thirdly, being strengthened with all power. I mean, this is an acknowledgement of our reality as human beings, as our frailty. People impacted by sin are broken people. People impacted by sin are not living their full potential. People impacted by sin are unable to please God. And albeit we have committed our lives to Christ, there is an acknowledgement in God's part by pouring out the Holy Spirit, God the Holy Spirit coming and living and dwelling in us, is that we need help. Now, one of the hardest problems, more often for men than women, but it's not exclusive to men, one of the hardest problems we constantly face as human beings is acknowledging we cannot do it. I am weak, but you are strong. And here, Paul is acknowledging we need to be strengthened. We need to be given the strength. Strengthened with all power according to his glorious might. I mean, think about this descriptor. God wants to give you the strength to live a life that is pleasing to him. And he is going to give you not atomic power, not steam power, not any other kind of power, but the kind of power that is according to his, God's, glorious might. The power that brought into existence everything that exists, the universe, by the word of his mouth. You know, sometimes I think my word has power. I discovered years ago when I had children, when our children were young, that my word didn't have as much power as I thought it did. Because they weren't just sitting there going, "Yes, sir." They were pretty young when they didn't just snap into action because I spoke. And I had the rude awakening that my word was not as powerful as I thought it was. But God's word is powerful, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might. And notice why, so that you may have great endurance and patience. Wouldn't it be nice to die today and go to heaven? Not all of you are sure about this one. I mean, life can present all sorts of challenges, and Kenneth at the outset talked about the struggle he'd been having as a result of this young student having this horrendous accident. And Kenneth here quite openly said it's been hard for the last 2 weeks. And we all go through stuff. You know, God, why aren't you doing it? We need patience. I feel like giving up. We need endurance. God wants to strengthen every one of us in this room so that we can live lives that please him, so that we can endure, so that we can keep going. Now, bear in mind also that these guys were living in a context where there was incredible physical opposition against those who believed in Jesus. This was a context where people were getting killed for following Jesus. We don't face that here in Australia. But nevertheless, whatever we're facing, God wants to strengthen you with all power. with all power, his power. And then also this one, giving joyful thanks to the Father. How do we please God? This is a really good one to think about. How can I please God every day of my life? Give thanks, joyful thanks to the Father. One of the greatest needs, great need for us as human beings, one of the greatest lies of the devil is to rob us of joy and to stop us being thankful for what we've got. We're so busy being miserable because we don't have something that we lose sight of what we do have. And we need to turn our focus to what we've got, what God has given us. Let that be the focus. Let that consume our attention. Giving joyful thanks to the Father. Who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of his holy people in the kingdom of light? We'll be talking more about this next week. But this is an amazing statement. Here it is. We're living in this world in the 21st century. Life's easy in Australia, let's be honest. Sure. We have struggles and challenges. Life's easy in Australia. If you don't believe me, go live in India for a minute. Right now. Life's easy. We have so much. We've been so blessed. But here's the thing. Paul is saying, give joyful thanks to the Father. Why? Because God qualified you to share in the inheritance of his holy people. Remember last week how Paul described who we are? God's holy people, God's set apart people. We are those who belong to God. And not only that, because we belong to God, we're going to participate, we're going to share in the inheritance of God's people. I don't know how it works in your family. Maybe your kids are going, I'm looking forward to our inheritance. This is going to be a big inheritance. I don't know. I'm not suggesting people should be. Yeah, I'm not sure about anything. But, you know, like, here's the thing. This is the thinking that's going on here for Paul. God, we are the family of God. We are the children of God, brothers and sisters in Christ. And all of us, every one of us, participate in the inheritance. You know, and you know, in some cultures, and certainly in the culture of Colossae, in first century Colossae, only the males got the inheritance, and indeed was quite often just the firstborn male got the lot. You know, and we've heard about those sorts of stories in families and how that plays out. But none of that's going on here. No. All of us are looking forward to all that God has promised us in the kingdom of light. The kingdom of God has come, has broken in to the kingdom, this world, and has driven out the kingdom of darkness. That's how we please God. Bear fruit in every good work, grow in the knowledge of God, be strengthened with all power, and give joyful thanks to the Father. Concentrate on that for a while and see how you go. So no, my friends, don't be conned. You do not have to be disconnected. Make a decision here and now, this morning, right now, to live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way. And think about this as well. Think about other people you know. Think about your children if you're a parent. Think about family members, friends who have become disconnected. Maybe there's something in this prayer you can pray for them. Paul confidently prayed that God would do this in their lives. Why? Because God wanted them to come back. Can I suggest maybe we should pray this for others we know.